Welcome to episode 91 of Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. This week, we are talking about plot holes.
Yeah,
I can't believe we haven't done this before.
Same. I was about to say, you know, we've had, what, 91 episodes and we haven't done plot holes. Like, what is that?
I know, crazy. Before we get to that, how was your week?
It's been okay. Work has been very aggravating lately, so whatever. But I did write 1,000 words on one of my books, so that was really nice. It's been a while since I've actually gotten to write, not even for any particular reason. I've just been busy. Work has been hectic, and I've been slammed, and I'm trying to graduate in the spring, so it's all coming to a crunch. But I did get to write a little bit this week, so that was really nice.
That's amazing. And your writing prompts start whenever Friday. The first is. Yeah, Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. I am going to write. So
good. I'm excited. I should make a Word document or whatever with those prompts for our Patreons or something.
Yes, do that.
Okay.
And for me too, that would be easier for me to look at because I can print that and stick it up on the wall.
Yeah, fair enough. I liked my little PowerPoint that I did.
I like the PowerPoint too.
It was very cute, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Very well done.
How was your week?
I don't even know. I honestly have no idea what I did yesterday, much less last week or this week. It is my birthday today.
It is your birthday today. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I've already said it. That's why I forgot to mention it now, but it is your birthday. So.
Well, and we're celebrating later this week.
We are.
I can have all my kids here. So
yeah.
Well, most of my kids here.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it was a good day. Your dad took me out to a brunch today. I had steak and eggs for brunch, which was wonderful.
Good.
And then I've been working. I've got court next week. So I have court Friday and court next week.
Very fun. That sounds like a great birthday.
I had court yesterday. It's just,
yeah,
my associate, my main associate, my senior associate has been out of town to visit her mom. She lives in Canada. So I've been doing it on my own with my paralegal. And it's a lot harder with just us two than it is. So I've missed my senior associate very much.
Yeah, so definitely.
It's been rough, but we'll get there. Whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
What are you eating and drinking?
I'm not sure what I'm doing for dinner today. So it's 6 o'clock right now. And so I haven't eaten dinner, and I'm not sure what it's either salad or we've got steak or we've got,
why is there even a question?
We've got tacos. So they're pretty good. I have no idea what's for food today, but I am drinking a Cosmopolitan.
Yay. My favorite drink. Oh, yes. That's the cup that I gave Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. I have not eaten yet either. And I've been in a meeting with drinks. So
a meeting with drinks.
So yes, it's going to be interesting. I apologize in advance, and I haven't eaten dinner, but your dad has cooked chicken up there.
Ooh.
Plus I'm on that Factor diet where they send you food. So I might eat one of those, or I might eat that chicken. My mouth is watering. It smells really good up there right now.
It's your birthday. Eat that chicken.
That's true. And I did eat potatoes, which I'm not supposed to have the carbs, but for that brunch, I was like, you know what? It's my birthday. I am having potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did. And I'm drinking my favorite wine, the sparkling rosé, which is my go-to.
Yeah, definitely.
So I have some jokes.
Oh, of course you do. Even on your birthday.
Even on my birthday. I'm funny all the time. What can I say?
Sure.
I only found two that had to do with plot holes. There were some really bad jokes out there, even bad by my standards, which means it's really bad.
Yeah.
And one of these is really bad. One of them I like. So the first one says, I'm writing a Swiss novel, but there are a lot of plot holes.
Yeah.
And the second one, A cemetery is a terrible setting for a convincing horror stories. Too many plot holes.
Oh, that one's good.
I like that one. Yeah. So
that's a good one.
Plot holes, they are the bane of our existence sometimes.
Yeah.
So what is a plot hole? It is any inconsistency that undermines a story's cohesion and makes the events, settings, characters, etc. less believable.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a gap or inconsistency in a storyline that goes against the flow of the logic established by the story's plot. I feel like
I think that's
better.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, the first one's pretty good, but I think the part that, you know, making it less believable or whatever is not necessarily indicative of a plot hole. I mean, it is, but like this
the second one is better. Here's another one. The story set out a parameter for its protagonist and then abandon it without any explanation.
Yeah. That's
an example of a plot hole.
Yeah.
The last definition is that it is a completely implausible occurrence or series of events that contradicts the logic or previously established events in the story.
Also a good definition.
Yeah. I like that too. So how do you recognize a plot hole?
Good question.
I mean, it's easy to recognize it in other people's works. How do you recognize it in your own work? That's the kicker. Yeah.
Cause it's so easy to point in and be like, oh, that doesn't make any sense because of blah. Mm-hmm. But then when you're writing it, it's like, no, everything is perfect.
Everything's perfect. We authors are generally so close to our writing that we don't see it. So the first step, obviously, is to take time away from your manuscript. Wow.
Manuscript.
Yes. Manuscript. And then go back to reading it.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. This tip is one that I actually use a lot. It's probably the number one tip. Mm-hmm. I've probably said that before that I would give to writers. I love to finish my manuscripts, and you know me, I like to rewrite them. So I like to finish them, and I love that, like, oh, well, now what do I do? Like, I've been working on this manuscript forever. Mm-hmm. But the next step is really just wait and, you know, give it some time, go work on something else.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is actually a great time to start a new piece, which I know is hard to do because you're so invested in the world that you've built. It is very hard. You know, it's easy to say, oh yeah, just go start a new piece.
Right.
Not as easy, but it might be the time to go and start that fun researching part, or go to the Pinterest part where you're looking at characters and ideas, something to distance yourself from the manuscript that you're too close to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's a great time to just work on your writing skills, do those sentence or paragraph writings like we do.
Yeah, definitely.
Because then you're not stuck with, oh God, I'm tackling a whole new
project.
I have to do a whole book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just simple paragraph writing, which, you know, if you've got a partner like we have each other, it's so much fun. And you don't have to think deeply about it. There's no headache involved with it. It's just a great way to work on, you know, let's work on dialogue. And we do a piece paragraph writing that works on dialogue. It's, you know,
right.
That's a great way to get away from that manuscript that you're really itching to be done with.
Yeah.
It is very hard because you want it to be done. You want to say, oh, I'm finished. It's perfect. I'm ready to go. And that's just not
how it works.
It's not reality.
Yeah.
A beta reader is also really helpful in picking up those tips. Sometimes I think that may be the best way to pick up those plot holes.
Yeah. I was, you know, earlier I said, my number one tip is to step back and give it time. No, I, you know, get a beta reader.
Take that back.
I do about 2 seconds after the fact. But it's probably the best tip that we're going to have for you, on finding plot holes, because getting a whole new set of eyes, that are brand new to the material is a really, really good way to find flaws.
Yeah. It's fresh to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're learning the plot for the first time. It'll be easier for them to spot inconsistencies. Whereas you have been plotting this story the whole time, and you've gone back and made changes, and you've done the timeline, and you've done the, you know, all these things. So you have all of these different aspects of the plot in your head, whereas your reader, your beta reader, is going to have just one, and is it consistent?
Yeah. I mean, and that's a true statement for any kind of editing, because I'll even read a sentence that you could leave a word out of the sentence, but my brain has put that word in it because I know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so a beta reader is going to find those things, which isn't a plot hole. That's a whole different aspect to editing. But, you right. know, Courtney is a lot of times our beta reader, and she didn't find a plot hole in Frickin' Fairies, but she did find something that bothered her as to why my character was doing certain things.
Right.
It wasn't a hole. It was just, I needed more information as to what caused her to stick with it. So, yeah. And I didn't see it because I was too close to it. To me, it made perfect sense. And so that beta reader's fresh input caught it.
Yeah.
Another way, the best, well, I keep saying all of these are the best way to do
everything
it.
Everything is the best.
It's all the best. Break it down chapter by chapter.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Ask these questions for each chapter. Number one, do the characters act in an unexpected or contradictory way?
That's fair. Cause I feel like, you know, inconsistent character personalities are a really good example of plot holes, but not one that you would necessarily think about. Cause it's not necessarily the story itself that has the plot hole, but the way the characters are acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And characters drive the plot. So therefore, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Plot holes aren't just about the storyline. It could be the characters themselves. Mm-hmm. It could be the description of the town. It could be anything that could be a plot hole. Maybe the town in the beginning doesn't have this marsh around it, but when they tried to escape, they all floundered in the marsh. Where'd the marsh come from?
Right, right.
You know, it's not necessarily the plot line that's a hole. It could be description. It could be the character. It could be a whole lot of different things that's causing this hole.
Right.
Are the rules of the story ever broken?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one for like our, I think we've done world building episodes way back at the beginning.
Which I feel like we could do more on world building. It's such a huge topic.
We absolutely could. Building a city, you know, whatever, but you know, consider how your world works. You know, does the science fit? Does the magic fit? You know, whatever is going on in your novel, do your plot points follow the rules, I guess? You know, have you said that people can't fly and then suddenly someone can and you don't explain it? That's a plot hole.
Definite. Kind of. That's a perfect example of a plot hole.
Yeah.
Does the protagonist succeed without too much struggle? There's got to be conflict.
Yeah.
So each chapter you got to look at what's going on and is it too easy?
Yeah. I mean, do you think that counts as a plot hole? Like if it is too easy, like if everything is explained and da 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 da, like, is it still a plot hole if it's like, oh, that was just too easy?
It depends. Like, I think if it goes to your example, if people can't fly, but he was able to fly away from the danger, making it very easy, that would be a plot hole. But you're right. That in and of itself doesn't necessarily make it a plot hole.
I think I see what you're saying, though, is like, you know, they just suddenly have an answer without an explanation kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Do the characters miss obvious solutions to their problems? And I hate this one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting here reading going, are you stupid? It was right there in front of you, you know, and that's a fault where we authors underestimate our readers.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, we've got to bash them over the head and make sure that they get it.
Right. But your character should.
Yeah.
And therefore.
And your readers should too.
Yeah.
They're not.
Oh yeah. Trust your readers. Your readers are not dumb. You know, you guys yourselves are readers most likely. So, you know, think about it.
Drives me crazy as a reader when I'm like, the answer is right there in front of you. Anybody would get it. I'm not a super smart person and I see it. So, you know, I mean, think it through.
Right.
Definitely ask that question of each chapter.
Yeah.
Does the timeline or setting randomly shift? And this is a hard one because when we're writing, and this is why your thing that you did, you've got a timeline PowerPoint or something.
Yes. Yeah. I use PowerPoint just to keep track of my timeline.
And I think you posted something like that on our Patreon. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I think I talk about it a little bit later in my notes. Okay. Actually. But yeah, no, it's available for our Patreons, how I do my timelines.
I mean, cause that is huge. I mean, it is very hard as a writer. We know where it's all going. And so it's hard to remember, wait a minute, it's fall here. And all of a sudden we've got them dressed in short sleeve shirts and, you know, that's a plot hole.
Yeah. I've noticed in my own writing that I've done things where it's like, you know, she had gotten knocked, my main character had gotten knocked to the ground, but in the next minute she was like standing up on the other, you know, like, so positioning, like that's even a plot hole, a minor one, but like still a plot hole.
Well, and think about if they got punched in the face, you don't just recover from that and move on.
Right.
And, you know, your jaw hurts or it might be broken or you might've lost a tooth or your mouth might be bleeding.
Or your nose is broken. Yeah.
You've got to think, and I've had a broken nose and I can't imagine trying to then go on and solve this crime or beat the bad guy with a broken nose. It hurts. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You know, when I do my normal editing, I pick random chapters because for me, well, I don't do it like you do. I can't rewrite like you do.
Oh, yeah.
Someday I hope I can do that. But right now I will just pick a random chapter and I will go in and I'll edit it for sentence structure or I'll edit it for description or I'll edit it for whatever that I want to edit in. And I just pull one randomly because then I'm not sucked into the story.
Oh, fair.
But you can't do that for plot holes.
Yeah, I definitely think you got to do a whole read through of the manuscript in order to catch plot holes.
Yeah,
you just because
can't.
Yeah.
If you pull this chapter, you know, chapter 18, whatever happens in it is not going to show you a plot hole because you don't necessarily remember what happened in chapter 3 that set up the whole story. So you've got to do it as a read through, like you said.
Yeah, definitely. I also have a few tips for finding plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
So edit from the perspective of your characters. Now, this one I thought was an interesting tip. You know, we say step back and read through it later, you know, give it some time, let it sit kind of thing. Use a beta reader, like all that kind of good stuff. But this particular tip makes you get back into your character's head. So you know, your character should drive the plot. There should be a lot of action on your character's part. They can show you where there are errors because of the way that they act.
Yeah, I think that is a great idea. I mean, like, do you look at it through the main character point of view only? I feel like if you look at the chapter through the secondary characters, that's going to show you plot holes as well. I think that's a great way to do it.
Absolutely.
Didn't you had an Excel sheet too. Okay, so Taylor is brilliant at putting together these things. And if we haven't posted it for our patrons, we need to.
Yeah, definitely. I think I know the Excel sheet that you're talking about, because I don't use Excel very often for writing. But the character conflict.
Yeah, it was Excel. Conflict. And you did, it was this beautiful mathematical looking thing where you listed out all the characters on the top and all the characters on the side. And then where they intersected, you wrote their conflicts. And it was quite brilliant. And that is another way to check for plot holes.
I will say, I don't know that that was an original idea. I probably saw something similar on like Pinterest or something.
Okay.
So I can't take like full credit for that. Thank you for thinking it's brilliant, but I don't think it's mine. it's partially mine. I always adjust things like that to
work for yourself.
Own,
yeah.
My own thing. I do like to create things. The timeline thing was my own, like that kind of stuff. But this Excel sheet, I know what you're talking about. I don't think was mine.
It's a very good way to catch, you know, when you're looking at this individual chapter, forget everything else in the book and you're going in order.
Yeah.
So you should remember, you know, the first two chapters, you're on chapter 3, go back to that conflict chart and make sure that the conflicts add up in what you're writing in this chapter, because that sheet that you had, Joe Schmo and Allison, their conflicts are these, and you've got that written down.
Yeah.
So when you look at this chapter, do Joe Schmo and Allison behave accordingly?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they don't, then you might have a plot hole.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That does actually give me an idea for new Excel sheets that I could create on my own. So, you know, we'll see about that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Check out Patreon soon. I'm sure I'll have something for you.
Yeah. I mean, the plot holes aren't just about that main character. So you've got to consider all of the characters.
Yeah. Sorry. I was on my list. Listen, I've already gone halfway through my drink. So Here we go.
I don't know how many drinks I've had. So I'm all there, whatever you want to do.
Fair enough. All right. So the next step that I have is you write a list of chapter numbers along with a sentence or two about the storyline. Now, this is going to help you keep track of your storyline as you write. So the more words you get, obviously, the more difficult it's going to be to keep up with all of the things that you've written already. So like, you know, back in chapter 3, like you said, you set up this exposition. And then in chapter 18, you need to know what that is.
Are you saying to do this as you go or in the editing phase?
Either. And the reason, or so both. I think in the editing phase, that would be, it is probably most helpful, but I actually do this as I write. So I do this in Word. I use the comment feature on Word. And at the beginning of each chapter, I go ahead and I write out the big plot points of the chapter. So I,
before you even write that chapter,
not necessarily. Sometimes I have goals of what I want for the chapter, depending on like how I've plotted it or what comes next or what has happened. But a lot of the time I will go back through and be like, okay, so all of these things happen in this chapter. And I put it as a comment, there.
Or that's very clever.
Yes. And then that way, so like, instead of rereading through my whole manuscript, if I drop it for 3 months, you know, I can go back and I can look at, oh, okay, these things happen in this chapter, these things happen. And it's, you know,
wow,
development. And that's just something that helps me. Something that I do,
I think that's a very smart thing to do.
Thank you.
Because I don't do that until editing phase.
Right.
And that is a problem. So I love, like right now I'm editing my very first book that I ever wrote, which it's a high fantasy. I love it. I have a lot of myself in it. But I don't remember it. And so, and I have no notes. Of course, when I started writing that book, this will date me. There were no computers back then. I was handwriting this in the courtroom while I was waiting for my cases to go to court. That's how long ago this was. We had typewriters.
Dinosaur.
You're not wrong. I mean, it is my birthday today, so I'm feeling my age. But I have never, and I guess that is indicative of the time frame that I started writing. I'm still learning the modern technology that we have that can give us so much aid. But that book, I wrote it first in a notebook by hand, right, then on a typewriter, and then computers came out. So I put it on, you know, those little, you probably never even see them. There's these little 4x4 hard disks that went
into a floppy disk.
Well, floppy disks came later. They were like the 6x6. These were little hard things. I mean, oh my Lord. But I had no feature like the comment feature to do it. So now I've got it all converted over into my WordPerfect, which yes, I'm still a dinosaur because I use WordPerfect. I hate Word.
I hate WordPerfect. So.
I know. She laughs at me, you guys. So we do our notes and I have issues every month, every week. I'll send her my notes and she's like, mother,
it's the worst.
What did you do to the formatting? I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just wrote.
Listen, you managed to break the Word document up into thirds. I don't know how
I did it either. But so I think for the modern writer, absolutely, there are technologies out there that can help you with that. I did not have the benefit of that with my first book. But what I'm doing now, and this book is extremely complex. There are two main plot lines, and within the two main plot lines, there are subplot. It is a high fantasy, which, you know, Game of Thrones, that kind of thing. They are very intricate. But I am having to go and write. I'm having to read every chapter and then now make notes about what this chapter was about. So it would be great to be able to do what you do and be able to go and look at my little comment note and say, oh, this is what this chapter's about.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's super useful. It makes it way easier to edit later. It makes it way easier to jump back into writing. But it's also way easier to see the logic of my chapters. You know, does the storyline make sense? Does this chapter, does the scene lead into the next one? That kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, there really is no easy No. They, to, especially as the author, because we are so close to it, even if we put it aside for a month and come back to it, we know what it's supposed to say. And so it is an issue with us seeing what's not really there.
Right.
But there isn't any way to go to a chapter and go, oh, found the plot hole. Let's fix it now. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
For a plotter, it is probably easier. You're more of a plotter than I am. I am a pantser for sure. It is definitely not easy for me. And I bring it on myself. I mean, I understand that.
Well, and that's why, like, I've developed all these, I'm a plotster, I think. Plotster, mm-hmm. planster, whatever. you know, I, whatever that term is. But that's the whole reason that I've developed all the tools that I have, like mm-hmm. my timeline PowerPoint thing. You know, it helps me keep my books organized, considering I have a billion projects that I'm working on at one time.
You're right.
So it's just a way to avoid these plot holes. You know, I have these notes that I can be like, oh yeah, I did that in chapter 3. So like here in chapter 18, I can do.
Honestly, that makes 100% sense. You want mm-hmm. to stop the plot hole before it happens, not mm-hmm. have to go back and find it. So
exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Another way to find some plot holes or to identify them or to avoid them actually would be to keep a checklist of your subplots. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great idea. Keeping track of all of your plots is a really good way just to avoid plot holes in general. This is kind of where I was thinking earlier. This is what I do with my timeline PowerPoint, is I color code all of my plots across time throughout the novel.
I mean, I am so color coordinated. Wow.
You're something.
Sorry, you guys. I'm something right now for sure. I think I am going to have to start using your PowerPoint. As I said, when I started writing, there was no such thing as PowerPoint.
And it can be done without it. I just find it way easier to use it.
God, yes. I mean, we are in the modern world. We are so much luckier. That is so much more lucky.
What? Yeah. Yeah. No, you got it.
You're a writer. Yes.
You got it.
I am at a disadvantage. And I think older authors like myself, I hate to call myself old. I don't feel old. But I understand the reality of technology.
I wrote this book before there were computers.
I mean, right. But I feel like I've adapted.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Hate Word. I do admit I hate Word.
I grew up on Word, so I love it.
I mean, the DA's office, when I started, it was Word Perfect. So that's what I learned on straight out of college. I went straight into the DA's office out of law school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, that is, I wish that they had chosen Word because I would be proficient in it and I'm not. But even Word Perfect has its own things and I can do PowerPoint. I know how to do PowerPoint. So there are things I just need to learn how to use. It just takes time to do that. And I have a real job and I can't very well say to my judge, I'm sorry, I'm not ready for court today because I was learning how to do Word.
I don't know. I decided when I was making that Halloween prompt PowerPoint, I had other things to do. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make Halloween prompts.
That's true.
But I think, you know, telling a judge that you didn't do work is a little more high stakes than telling my advisor.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I get my work done for sure. But there, I do have a lot to learn. And I think the younger generations, I mean, I think about Riley, who is your younger sister, and she knows more than you ever learned.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
She introduced me to Canva, mm-hmm. which is something that I don't think you knew about when you were in her grades.
No, and I think it was new. You know, it's new. It didn't exist when I was in grade school.
Yeah. And so I use it all the time. I use it for posting our Twitter posts and our Instagram posts, which I am woefully behind on. I'm so sorry, but
woefully. Sorry, but, a good word.
I mean, hey, I'm a writer.
Hey,
it's just, there are things that can help us now that I'm still learning how to take advantage of. So take everything that I say with a grain of salt. You might listen to this and go, well, it's obvious you can find power, you know, you can find plot holes by whatever.
Yes. If one, yes, that is kind of obvious. Two, you know, using Microsoft Office is probably not state of the art. I mean, it's up there. It's current for like, you know, jobs and stuff.
There's
but
something
there are
more
writing...
than Word.
Yeah. There. Well, yeah, there are writing programs, that aren't widely used by like businesses, but like there are, you
for
know,
writers.
Scrivener. Yeah. So like Scrivener is a big writer one. We could do a whole episode on
we
that.
We should do an episode on writing programs.
Yeah. All right. I'm down.
Okay.
We'll do. But I think that I'm more old school in terms of using PowerPoints.
You're old school.
Yes.
I did this on a typewriter.
Yeah. But I'm saying like, but that's the point.
I get you.
Like you said, technology is advancing. I am comfortable with PowerPoint one because my job uses it 24/7.
Would you ever be comfortable? Because I think this time is coming where you would dictate a book out loud and it would write it for you.
Oh no, because I don't think it does punctuation well. I think I would struggle.
But what if it did? Because I know we're not far from that kind of technology. I can't do it out loud. It's my fingers that my brain and my fingers are connected.
I think I would do dialogue well out loud. I think I would struggle with descriptions out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So like because in my head, I have these conversations in my head with these characters or whatever. And so like, I can speak what they're saying, but in terms of like pictures, like that's, I just see the image in my brain and then I have to translate that to words. So like, I don't think I'd be able to do that while speaking.
I think I've said this before. My favorite description of any of your books ever was that Louis and Delaney scene of her apartment, going to her apartment. It was so well done.
Good. I don't remember that.
I know. And it was really well done. And I don't know that I could ever speak like you. I don't know that I could speak that out loud.
Well, I did not speak that out loud to write that.
Right. But I mean, in the future, this, you know, the kids that are coming up now, that may be the way things are done.
It's possible.
They may be saying in the future, wow, they like used their fingers on keyboards to write this stuff. How weird is that? I just wondered what you thought because you're a lot younger than I am.
Oh, I think it would be weird. I like typing.
Me too.
I also like handwriting. So there's that as well.
I can't read my handwriting. It's a problem for me.
Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, we got a little off track here, but
we did. Sorry.
Anyway, keep a checklist of your subplots was the main point of all of that. that we just said, because keeping track of your plots is obviously going to help you avoid plot holes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like we said, our patrons, wow, on Patreon, have her PowerPoint that they can get to.
Yes, yes. Keep a log or notes of the edits that you make to your story as you revise it. So, you know, they could open a plot hole by mistake. If you change something, that could potentially create a plot hole.
So I have a question.
Okay.
So when I'm editing, I save my edits as, okay, you know, Frickin' Fairies, October 24th, 2020. Uh-huh. And then I'll edit the next time. And then it's Frickin' Fairies, October 29th. How do you do? There's got to be a better way.
I mean, that's a really good question, because I don't necessarily keep track of my edits. I did once upon a time with my very first book ever back when I was like 18, and I would never do it that way again. It felt too clunky. I didn't like the way that I did it. I went in and I highlighted changes that I made and I hated it.
So I have to learn how to use something like, I mean, WordPerfect may have this ability. I just don't know it, where I go in and make notes of what the changes are that I made.
Yeah, something like that. I actually, as I'm writing something, so I use, again, the comment feature on Word is one of my favorite things in existence for writing. I use it all the time. So like when I'm writing a detail into a book and think it might be inconsistent with something that I've written previously, I add in a comment right then and there to fact check that detail for when I rewrite or edit. So that at that point, I've kind of logged like, oh, this might be an issue. Go and check your facts, get rid of this plot hole.
I mean, I've done that just by putting highlighted things, you know, check this within the body of my story.
Yeah.
Like, Okay. So with frickin' fairies, at our little seminars that we go to, I had the feedback from professional writers who said, you did an info dump in the beginning of frickin' fairies.
Yeah.
You need to get to your inciting intimate incident sooner. Wow. Y'all bear with me. So I rewrote it and I think it's too quick. So now I have a problem is I have the original one and I have the new one and I don't know how to make, you know, it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. How do I get to the one that's just right?
Right.
When I've got all these saved copies in my computer, it's very difficult.
That is a good question. I think, programs like Scrivener would probably help like that. I don't have an answer for you. I haven't done my thing is to rewrite everything. So So, you know, like you said, you wrote a new beginning. I think that's good. I think it's just time to go and write another one. And that's just the way that I do things. That's not necessarily the correct way to do it. That's just, I'm most comfortable with rewriting. And that's the way that I get, the correct scene, on paper. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, the comment section on Word or comment feature on Word is absolutely amazing. I use it all the time. It's incredible. I love it.
Okay.
Also change the font or color of your manuscript. So sometimes that'll make your work different enough to your brain that you figure out an issue within it. So like, wow. It's just,
that's a great idea, honestly, because I am color coded. So
yeah. And so
that might work for me.
Yeah. The thing that made me think about this was, you know, you write an email and then you send it. And as soon as you send it, you realize, oh God, there was that typo in it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time that's because like when you send an email, it changes the format in some way. And so the email is different and you notice more about it. So like, yeah, you can read it over as you're drafting it or whatever. But then as soon as you send it, it's in a different format and you're like, oh, okay.
There's that typo. You catch it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So like, that's one way to kind of like make your brain rethink your work.
Okay.
Same kind of idea with this next tip, read your story out loud. So, you know, it'll be different because you're speaking it. You may catch a plot hole or typos, but that's another story. But
yeah,
you
I might feel like
catch a plot hole.
We used, that was one of our recommendations in our editing podcast, which y'all go listen to. We have an editing podcast. But yeah, I think that's a great idea.
We have an editing episode in our podcast.
Thank you. What she said. Yes.
But yeah. So those are a bunch of different ways. Actually, my girlfriend just texted me and she said the read aloud feature on Word saved her life catching typos on her thesis. So
she is listening.
Yes, she is. But I have also used the read aloud. Even with my books, I've used it and I've caught typos because it'll trip over words that like it doesn't understand. It'll be like, you know, it'll try to say all of the H's that you put in that word or whatever.
I wonder if WordPerfect has that. I'll have to look and see. I mean, it tries to mimic, you know, it's still out there. It's an alive program. So I would imagine it tries to keep up to date with what Word is doing. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. So all of those are pretty good ways of identifying plot holes within your work. But how do you go about fixing them?
Yeah.
Is really what we want to know. You know, identifying them is important. That's the first step to fixing them. Mm-hmm. You know, figuring out what they are, where they are, what exactly the plot hole is, you know, what makes it a plot hole, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So now we want to go about fixing them. How do we get rid of them? How do we make our story more cohesive? So the first step to that is, or one of the steps, I guess it's not necessarily the first, but consider some alternative outcomes to realign your plot, you know, change the event or scene that is causing this plot hole, this inconsistency, whatever, and try something new to explore different outcomes, different things that could happen that could fix that plot.
And for people like me, this is very hard to go into the main manuscript and do that.
Yeah.
Do it separately.
Yes.
You know, if that's what you need to do.
use your writer's journal also, you know, make a list of them. What else could happen other than this thing that I've done that's caused this plot hole?
Mm-hmm.
You can also make flow charts, I think is a really good way of going about, thinking of alternative outcomes.
Yeah. I actually use flow charts. I did that with, I don't even remember which one. I don't remember which one. Kata, I think.
Yeah.
But I am a very visual person. And so seeing this flow really helps me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. That's why I use my whiteboards. I'm also a very visual person. I like to be able to write everything down.
Where do you keep your whiteboards now that your office is a mixture?
They're still hanging up on the wall. I just have them in different spots. So there's one by the door over here, and then there's one by the door over here. So and they're very close to each other.
Work on them and use them?
I haven't recently. I've been
because you haven't been writing.
Yeah. Hopefully soon. I hope to get back into it.
Okay.
But we'll see. Just something to keep in mind, keep an open mind. So sometimes you can't have that really cool thing happen like you wanted it to because of plot holes, you know, like it won't work, but it's something that you really adore that you've written. Something's still going to have to give. So you've got to be able to, you know, change things. You've got to be able to rework your story or else the story itself might not work.
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, you might have to change your story. It might not work the way you've written it to get to that end point that you're going for.
Yeah.
So first you have to consider, is this end point really where it has to go? And it's hard. It's very hard because we have it in our minds. This is the way it's going to go. But does it really have to go that way?
Right.
Be open. Like you said, keep an open mind. You might be able to change it and have a better book than what you thought to begin with.
Yeah.
If it is where you really want to go, okay, then you've got to figure out how do you change what you've written to get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's not, then great. Change the endpoint and you may have a better book than you expected.
Definitely. And I was going to say the same thing. You might end up with something, you probably will end up with something that's better just because you're getting rid of the plot hole, first of all, but you might enjoy where you're taking the story even more than where it started.
Yeah.
Know that, you know, fixing a plot hole is not necessarily easy. You know, especially if you decide on an alternate event to fix it, you know, it's going to cause a cascade of changes. Like you said, if you change an event, like that's going to change anything that happened after that. Or if you need this event to happen, anything that happened before it might have to change. So it's not easy.
That reminds me of that movie, The Butterfly Effect with, what was that actor?
Ashton Kutcher,
which was based on one of my favorite short stories of all time by Raymond Bradbury.
We talked about that recently.
Oh my God. I love that man.
I don't remember why we talked about that recently.
I don't know, but The Butterfly Effect, I mean, it affects this plot hole scenario. If you make a change, it's going to have ripples throughout your story, and you've got to be prepared to go and handle all of that. So think it through.
Yeah.
You can't just say, oh, I fixed it without, then you're going to make more plot holes because the ripple effect isn't going to be fixed. So think it through.
Exactly. I've said it already, in this episode, but I like to address plot holes in my rewrite specifically for this reason.
Yeah.
It's way easier in my head, in my brain, the way that I work, for me to rewrite a whole novel instead of trying to realign within the same manuscript.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Like it breaks my brain somewhere. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to rewrite the whole story. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you may be right. That is a really good pro to rewriting versus trying to edit like I try to do.
Yeah.
Like, no, I love what I've written, so I have to fix it within, you know, so you're right. That may be the way to do it.
Yeah. Well, and then also, you know, keep anything you cut. You know, it's hard to cut your work. We've talked about it before.
We've
actually given this tip before. If you like one scene or one specific plot point, keep it. You know, you might be able to work it back in later.
Yeah. I do it just because I am a vain writer and I can't bear to lose my work.
I've noticed a lot of the time, if I cut large chunks of work out. You know, there will obviously be like sentences that I like more than others or whatever, but a lot of the time I'll go back and read it and be like, well,
agreed.
And just get rid of it. Too.
And yet it makes me feel whole to keep it. It's in a file. It's there. Yeah. I haven't lost it. I haven't deleted it. I can always go back to it and use it if I need it. And like you said, often I'll go back and go, what the fuck was I thinking? Well, this is not where I was trying to go, but it satisfies that writer's vanity that I've kept this wonderful writing that I've done. Yeah. So yeah, just do that. If, I mean, writers are vain people. We are.
Blech. Be sure to address your character's wants and needs. So, you know, these should be set up in your exposition. What does your character want? What do your side characters want? Mm-hmm. Make sure that the things that they do and the choices they make align with those wants and needs. They're obviously going to be working towards their own specific goals, whether they are the main character or the antagonist or your side characters or Joe Schmo that runs the register at the local market, you know, whatever.
And I think that is so important. And I think a lot of plot holes come from not thinking this through. We forget about our side characters as being real characters too. We know, you know, our main character is driving the plot, but you've got to remember these side characters are there for a reason.
Yep.
And you've got to have them act properly with what you've set up. You know, you can't suddenly have this side character doing something that is totally inconsistent. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about this one before, but take advantage of spreadsheets and character charts, flow charts, timelines, etc. They're all basically just tools to make it very easy for you to identify plot holes or avoid them altogether. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Keep track of like all of the plots that you have, the characters you have, what they want, you know, that kind of thing. Always consider the why, quote unquote, of plot points in your novel. You know, why does this event need to happen? Why did your character decide to check out the scary noise in the kitchen? You know, how does that make sense for the character? Why did things have to happen the way that they did?
Yeah. And this is easier said than done. Our characters tend to take things into their own hands and go where they want to go, and you end up in a corner. So you need to look at why did your character push you into this corner? Is it because there's a plot hole? Is it because you haven't thought something through? How did your character end up in this place that you can't go? How did you end up with this plot hole? Is there something wrong with the rest of your story, with a character's action, with something? So you've got to investigate that why, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, one of the main things that I use my whiteboards for is like, I write at the very top of it, purpose. And then I start listing, you know, like characters, like what's the character's purpose? You know, what is the purpose of this scene? What's the purpose of this chapter? Is one of my favorite exercises to do with my whiteboards is why am I doing this with this scene? You know, like that
and,
kind of thing.
And that really truly is a question that needs to be answered.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
For sure.
Things to keep in mind. So those were all the tips to go about fixing your plot holes. There's no like one single answer of like, this is how you fix a plot hole. It's more like just make sure you can identify them and then take steps to figure out how to close those plot holes, if that makes sense. So things to keep in mind, you know, don't get discouraged. Plot holes suck.
Yeah.
Like you said at the beginning of this episode, they're the bane of writer's existence. So,
and they happen to the best of us. Patricia Briggs, who is an amazing author. I don't remember which book it was she was writing.
I don't either.
But they posted on her site, oh, we just found a huge plot hole. We're rewriting right now. You know, so it happens to real fantastic published authors. So it's going to happen to all of us.
Absolutely. Don't get discouraged. Everybody gets plot holes, whatever. So turn to brainstorming about them instead of worrying about them. As soon as you're like, oh, I have a plot hole. I can't finish this book. Don't worry about that. Brainstorm the ways to fix it using a lot of the tips that we mentioned earlier. You know, what is the cause of your plot hole? How can you fix it based on that cause? Don't procrastinate the fix. This one is a tip for me. I'm very bad about procrastinating anything that I think is going to be too hard. And fixing a plot hole is extremely daunting to me also, just because I enjoy rewriting to fix plot holes, and that's a whole adventure.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, it's going to be stronger in the long run. It's going to be a fun task to go through and play with your characters and, you know, figure out how to get them on the right track, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is easier said than done. But this may be a good time to go back and look at your notes from the very beginning. Go back, pull out your writer's journal. What were you thinking when the first nugget of this story came out? Yeah. You know, is this fix that you're looking at the only way to get there? You know, it could be that a total rewrite is what you need to do. What's wrong with the place that you are, and how do you go backwards to make it right? Or, right, you know, do what you do and rewrite the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For sure. I will say, timelines, if you do plan to rewrite, go ahead and make a whole timeline of your entire novel. It will help you.
Yeah. I mean, there's one thing about being a panster on the initial writing.
Right.
You're done with that once you come to the rewriting.
Yeah.
Once you come to the editing phase, you're not a panster anymore. We're now looking at how to organize this and get it done. So right. Yeah, panster is only, I think, for the first draft. After that, we all become editors and organizers and outliners and however else we go about editing.
Yeah, definitely.
Rewriters like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that I have.
Me for too.
This topic, except I do have an interview question.
Okay.
What's the first thing that you specifically do when you realize you have a plot hole?
I cry.
I was going to say I would go, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like when Courtney came to me and said, why is Beck doing this? Why didn't she just go away? Which isn't necessarily a plot hole, but it was a problem in my beta reader's mind.
Yeah.
I was like, well, hell.
Yeah.
So I had to sit down and think about it and try to figure out what concept can I come up with to make it believable to the reader as to why she's doing this. And I did, I came up with a great one. So
yeah, absolutely. I, the same for me. Like, I think I legitimately am just like, shit, you know, like, damn.
Yeah.
But Courtney also came to me with a, I don't know if it was a plot hole necessarily, but the first thing I was like, oh, okay. That was my oh shit moment. And then I was like, well, what if I did this? And she was like, yeah, actually that sounds really good. And I was like, cool. So like, I immediately start brainstorming.
Yeah.
I'm like,
too.
Oh, how do I go about fixing it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like probably every writer's that way, but I was wondering if there was like anything specific that you do where you're just like, I'm just going to put this away for a minute and then come back to it.
Actually it was the opposite effect. I immediately wanted to go in and fix it. I was like, Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, what can I do? And I got into Beck's mind and I got into what was going on. And I immediately, it was brainstorming, like you said.
Yeah.
Which definitely is fun for me. I love brainstorming.
I do too. It's a very good way to be creative without like feeling pressured, I think.
Agreed.
I also have a sentence challenge for this week for those of you who are interested. So basically take this sentence and write a page or a scene or a chapter or whatever you want and run with it. We would love to also read them, so send them to us. But this week's sentence is, it was an ordinary Tuesday when I fell into a hole and nearly died.
Ooh, I like that one.
It was a more silly one. Just I come up with these off the top of my head. So
there
we go. Do you want me to do the outro?
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really enjoy talking, obviously, as we talk for hours on end. You can come and check out all of our social media via our website, which is eatdrinkwritepodcast.com. We've got Twitter, Facebook. I'm a little schmipsy now, so I can't remember all the things. Instagram. I think we have a Pinterest on there somewhere.
We might have a Pinterest.
But anyway, all the links to our social media is on our website. But the easiest way to get into contact with us, if you're interested in giving us topics or jokes or asking questions, that kind of thing, you can email us at eat.drink.write.podcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys. We absolutely enjoy, obviously, again, talking.
Clearly.
Also on our website, we have a link to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/EDW, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, we adore our Patreons. Thank you guys so much, Jen and Deanna, for supporting us. We would love to continue doing this indefinitely. It's a lot of fun for us, but it does cost money. So
it does.
But also on our Patreon, we do have things available like the timeline that I talked about today. And also I think a query letter template is up there. Mm-hmm. I'll see what I can do about this character conflict sheet. So we like to try to put out some material for our Patreons.
Let us know if you're interested in any like merch, like t-shirts and stuff. I mean, before we go and do that kind of thing, we want to know there's an interest for it. But yeah, we love you guys. We love doing this, obviously. And sometimes what you all send, like the sentence things that we've gotten, have sparked things in my own mind. I love it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, please support us and thank you for listening.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.